peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
You know, there's reports that have been published that state that up to 26 million people in the United States and over 800 million people in developing and undeveloped countries go without adequate food on a regular basis. Every single minute, there's at least 16 people in our world that die of complications related to hunger. There's no doubt about it. It's a real problem. And a Christian believer needs daily spiritual food, as seen in the feeding of the 5,000 in the Gospel of John in chapter 6, as Pastor Poncho will have us consider on this edition of On the Level Radio. I learn about the bread from heaven. That's coming up next.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Poncho.
Notice verse 15. Therefore, because of the miracle, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Jesus perceived that the people wanted to make him now a king, not because he was the prophet, because he was a ticket, a lunch ticket. And he was able to provide food and miracles, everything that you and I want. What do we want out of life? Don't we ask for good health? Isn't that what we ask? Don't we ask for food and clothes on our back? Maybe you don't think this way, but in third world countries, people wake up, they're not thinking about clothes, they're not thinking about putting KFWB to see if there's traffic on the highway. They wake up with one thing in mind: I gotta put food in my children's stomachs. That's all. It's called hand-to-mouth existence. That's their priority. They gotta put food in their mouths. That's their priority. Here, they perceive, Jesus perceived, they wanna make him king by force. So he retreated and he went to the mountain by himself. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into a boat and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark and Jesus had not come to them. When you read the other accounts, it tells us that Jesus sent them during the Jewish fourth watch. That's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Jesus sent them. They were in Bethsaida and they went across Capernaum. Not directly across, it's only like around 6 miles by water. So Jesus sent them. Now think about this for a moment. If you and I were disciples of Jesus, we just witnessed another sensational miracle. And Jesus says to you and I want you to go to Capernaum. By then, a good disciple is obedient. Let's go to Capernaum. It's also during the springtime. It's a clear night. The moon's out. When the moon's out, and I've been there, when the moon is out, you can see the Sea of Galilee. It is so calm. It's like liquid glass. And all you hear is just the house music from Tiberius Hotel. That's all you hear, man. Kind of surreal. Because you're there, you want to meditate, and you hear this house music coming from the hotels in Tiberius. So when they shut down, which is like around 1 o'clock in the morning, you're able to go outside and just look how beautiful, how tranquil, how placid the whole lake is. It's like glass. And the moon just shines and glitters on the top of the surface. Beautiful. It was that kind of night. So they went, and Jesus went back to pray. When you read the other Gospels in chronological order, you read it and you put it all together, you see that Jesus was watching them. In a tranquil night, all of a sudden, there is a wind that whips up so violently. You know why? The Sea of Galilee is 650 feet below sea level. The cool air, the hot air mix. You see, if people want to disclaim Jesus' account or John's account, the very fishermen from Galilee throughout the centuries will have debunked that story. They would have said, no, there's no such wind here. Even today, when you ask some of these people, they're the fishermen there, they said, oh, yeah, it's unexpected. They just come, and we're not even able to tell, but it's happened. I've never seen it. But you ask the fishermen, they're there. You ask the boat people, and they tell you, there's some violent weather here. There meets, and it collides, hot air with cold air, and it's a violent, violent whirlpool effect. It's dangerous. And so, listen, I'm reading a wonderful story, a book called The Mayflower. And the captain, Captain Jones, was taking the Mayflower. And the narrative goes on to say that he was very scared because horrible winds were coming against him. See, he didn't know the Gulf Streams. He didn't understand those thing navigational things that we know now. But they all knew that when you hit a storm, you bring the sail down and you tie the helm and you go with the flow. You may lose distance, but you're going to be safe. The narrative goes on to say that the pilgrims and all the strangers, the non-Christians, that all the strangers and the pilgrims were in this eerie boat in the midst of a tempest, but it was so quiet and tranquil as they were going through the storm. Just like the ark, they were floating. As long as they were going with the wind, not against it or sideways because they can get flipped over. You mean to tell me that these people are fishermen? They're fishermen, aren't they? At least four of them. They live in Bethsaida. They were fishermen all their life. They knew what to do. I'm sure of it. Everyone should know that. When you get caught in a riptide, I'm not even a beach boy. I'm from inland. Riptides are very dangerous. When you get caught in a riptide, what people want to do, they get so scared, they want to go to shore. They cannot. What do? Sideways. And then you try it again. You can't do it. You keep going. Keep going sideways. I'm not a beach boy, but I know that. And I didn't learn that in the military. I just learned that just from being open and listening. But there are people that die of riptides because they get scared. If you know what to do, you know what to do. I'm sure these guys knew what to do. But tell you what, they were taking orders from Jesus Christ. I want you to go to Capernaum. Meet me there. And he's watching them. Notice this. Verse 17. Well, they got into the boat, and they went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. Now, John omits Peter walking on water. The other one said that Peter saw him walking on water. He said, I want to walk too. Come on down. And Peter gets out, and he, but then also he looks down and he falls down. John omits that. He doesn't talk about Peter. He does not talk about Peter. He just said that Jesus was looking at them. And I want to bring this to your attention. At least it was came to my attention. Because I think personally, I'm going through an episode in my life right now that I have a cloud over my head. I don't know why. It's a cloud over my head. Like, what is it, Lord? Then I saw about this thing about testing Philip. And I started asking him, are you testing me? Have I failed? What is this all about? I took this scripture very seriously, verse 6, that Jesus was testing Philip. Could it be that I'm going through a testing? Do you believe that you and I sometimes go through tests? James says that. He says, this is a test of your faith. Therefore, he says, embrace trials. This is the testing of your faith. See, sometimes we want to walk with Jesus in the emotion that we're in. If I feel sad, I must not be walking with Jesus. I feel a little down, but that's because of my life. I haven't been reading. No, I don't think so. I think life brings about a lot of emotions. And there's a time in your life where your faith has to be tested. We cannot cruise in Christianity on automatic cruise control. We have to know where the power is coming from. Sometimes we just believe and we go in automatic cruise control. And I don't think that all Christians are supposed to be in automatic cruise control. And I don't think we're supposed to be in drive either, because Jesus never drives us. It's not a driven church. It is a led church. We are led by the Spirit. We are taught by the Spirit. We are guided by the Spirit. We are comforted by the Spirit. The Spirit declares truth. The Spirit guides us and leads us into all truth, the Spirit of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. And I hope that's what I'm believing. But I'm going through a difficult time. No, don't come up to me. What is it, my brother? What? No, you know, it's just, I don't know. I really don't know. And I've shared this with my family, with my wife especially. I shared this with my daughters, my adult daughters, just to let them know I'm not wigging out. Or, you know, I'm not in sin or anything like that. I just wig out at times. And what I mean by wigging out, I don't mean like I wig out. You know what I mean? I'm just thinking like there was a great spark. There was an ambition. There was a drive. There was a joy serving the Lord. And none of those things are happening. But I've been through that before, and I share that with you. I'm just going through another episode. I share with my wife coming over here. I said, look, how can I share this? You know, when in my own personal life, there's something there. And she pulled out something from her Bible, and she said, I've been praying for you. Look what I've been praying for you. Every day she prays for me. And I'm thinking, wow, what a trip. Every day, look. Didn't want to tell you anything, but look, this is today's date. This is what I pray for you. Wow, what a trip. I don't have nothing for you. See what I mean? You laugh at my expense, but that's the truth. But here's the disciples. I see their humanity. I noticed that they were very much afraid. Verse 19. And they were afraid. And they were afraid. Listen to what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. Listen to what the Bible is saying. And they were afraid. If the disciples that walked with Jesus saw the miracles, if they were afraid, why wouldn't you think that you and I would be afraid? Aren't you afraid sometimes? You can say, nope, not me. Well, that's fine. But there's times when I'm afraid. What am I afraid of? My sin? I'm afraid of my own weirdness and my own lifestyle I used to have before. I'm afraid of my own fragmented heart if it's not guarded well. If I let go of the passions that I have and the selfishness that I possess and the fleshly desires that I have and the passion, if I let that go, they will trap me. That's why I always have to lean on Jesus Christ. I'm talking about every single day. We're not talking about Wednesday nights only or Sunday mornings. I'm talking about every single day. You know, when someone has a heart attack and they go through the whole gamut, I said gamut, okay? People misunderstand me. G-A-M-U-T. Sheesh. They go through the whole procedure. They get to ER. And they drop the drops on the under the tongue, the sublingual medicine. And they put the monitors and they put an IV. And then they open you up. And they say, nope, you got to rush him in. And then you got to go through surgery, open heart surgery. And they finally made it. And then the doctor comes and tells you, you got to take care of yourself. People, they come back out of heart surgery. They're there every morning now. Every morning. Would you like some cheese? Nope. Would you like some fries? Nope. Why? Because that almost killed me. And they have a change of heart. People that have asthma, stay away from cigarettes. People that have asthma, stay away, and they're trying to maintain a lifestyle that they understand that if they don't take care of themselves, they can have an asthmatic attack and they can die. You see, sin is the same way. If we knew how sin, how deadly it was, you wouldn't even cooperate with the flesh. You would not even become an alias to Satan and his schemes. If you knew how deadly sin was, you'll stay away from it because you realize how prone you are to fall. And you don't want to deal with that mess. You want to hang with Jesus. You want to just hang to the Word, because if not, you'll get taken to the world. And that's why it's a constant battle. And I don't think it's for me. You know what I think personally? If I don't want to get philosophical, but I think that God is allowing me to see what other people go through. Because if not, I believe that I can be in a place where I'm not effective in the ministry because I don't know what is going on in other people's lives. Just like cancer. People will come up to me, Punch, pray for me. My mother has breast cancer. And she might go to City of Hope. Wow, that's messed up. I fell for them. But it wasn't until Millie and I were there in the emergency room and they said, you have brain cancer. Cancer? You mean like cancer? Why us? Why don't you get the backsliders? Why us? Why don't you go to people that go to weird churches? Get them. They need the lesson. I love you. We walk with you. We tithe. We're committed to you. We're faithful. We've been doing this for years. And then you do this? Why? You see, God had to teach us a lesson. Compassion. Understanding. Listen to people. Listen to them. Millie, when they find out, we're going to go see a man, I believe tomorrow, who's 77 years old. He's dying. He has a month to live. He read the book I wrote, and he told my wife, and Millie called him. He says, I was from Flats, and he has a foul language. Former Marine, serving Korea. He says, I like that damn poncho. That blankety blank, man, I'm telling you. But he has cancer. Millie and I are going to go see him tomorrow. Not so much out of my own drive. It's Millie. She says, I want to go see one of my own. Not a believer, one of my own. I know what cancer does. Where did she get that from? Oh, she read a book, How to Be Compassionate. No. She was straining at the row. And she saw Jesus walking in the water. Not literally, you understand? Not literally. And she realized that she was afraid. And Christ came into her life, gave her the strength and the stamina. And that reflected on me to give me strength to continue. And now we have a sensitive heart towards people like that. I don't have the same sentiment for people that are losing their hair. Like you're going bald. I don't care. Go bald. You know, don't go psychological. I mean, you know, we have right here and then you put a little. I have no compassion. I'm losing my hair. Well, good. Shave it off. I have no compassion for that. But when it comes to other things like that, it does. They were afraid. But he said to them, it is I. Here it is. Do not be afraid. And that is the message for you tonight. Do not be afraid. Whatever you're going through, do not be afraid. Now, if you don't have Jesus, oh yeah, you're going to be afraid because you have nowhere to go. You notice after we finish this, it's going to take us a while, where Jesus was speaking spiritually. He says, he who believes in me will never die. That's a cruel statement. What do you mean we're not going to die? But Jesus was speaking spiritually. You see, there are two kinds of death. Physical death. That's the when our consciousness leaves our body and our brain becomes dead. That's physical death. And then you have the second death, which is the consciousness departing from God. That's called the second death in Revelation chapter 20. Jesus was not speaking about the first death. Everyone has to go through physical death, even Jesus. But not the second one. Not the second one. That's what Jesus was speaking about. He also was saying, he who believes in me and who does not drink of my blood and eat of my flesh shall not inherit eternal life. And the people are saying, that's cannibalism, man. What do you mean, eat flesh and eat blood and drink blood? See, the Jews will never even drink blood of the animals. That was a taboo. No way. But Jesus was not speaking literally. Jesus was speaking spiritually. Jesus, at one time, and right here too, he said, listen, this is the bread that came down from heaven. He was speaking about himself. Give us this bread. And he says, I am the bread that came down. But they would not believe him because they were thinking in the physical realm. He told them in verse 63 of chapter 6, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are what? Life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who will betray him. And so he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless he has been granted of him by my Father. From that time, notice, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Oh, interesting. The disciples couldn't understand what he was talking about. And they thought he went over the edge. Other critics were saying in verse 42, because he told them, I come from heaven. And they went and reduced themselves to the physical realm. Hey, that's Jesus the carpenter, man. That's the guy that works at Home Depot. And he says he's from heaven. You see, they reduced it to the physical realm. And this is where Satan attacks us. We're always thinking the physical realm. Oh, Lord, I don't want this neighbor's son coming to my house and being nosy about my business. Oh, this neighbor's coming over here. He just wants to see what's going on. You see, I reduced it to the physical sense. Both of my neighbors helped me. You want to know something? I didn't even pray. When they wouldn't answer the phone, did I say, Lord, help me? I don't know what to do. May you give me wisdom and discretion what to do. What? Two neighbors are coming? Okay. Nothing. Millie and I were just going back and forth. Did you call him? I called him. Nobody, what did I do? We failed the test. But I have great comfort that God opened my eyes to realize that I failed the test. There are some people that failed the test and they don't know they failed the test. See, that's worse. At least I think, I believe that I acknowledge it, I recognize it, I made a mistake, and I said, I'm sorry, God. Go ahead on. Whatever you have, Lord, go for it. He asked Peter in verse 66, do you also want to go away? But Peter answered him, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Peter makes a confession. Lord, where are we going to go? And the question is for us today. You're a Christian. Where are we going to go? Get angry and say, I'm going to go back to the world? What's in the world? Momentary gratification. That's what it is. Momentary. What, a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days? Let's say a week. A week. After a week, you realize there's nothing here. But it's going to take you a week to recognize that you, apart from Jesus, you're nothing. And then you're going to feel miserable about what happened in that week. You're going to feel in reeling back with guilt and shame because we let go 7 days that God would have done something better in 7 days than regress instead of progressing. And so I leave you with this. From the words of Jesus, it is I. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. And the Bible says, then, verse 21, then they willingly received them into the boat. Notice this. And immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Can you imagine that? Jesus gets in the boat. Everything stops, and the boat ends up right on shore. What do you say to that? Wow. You have to acknowledge Jesus Christ. If you want to read this on your own later on, the people want to follow Jesus, but they didn't see Jesus leaving the boat. So they went to Capernaum, they found Jesus, and they said, Master, how did you get here? Jesus doesn't even answer them. He says, you're not coming here because of the miracles. You're coming here because you're eating for free. You see the wrong motives. If we have the right motives and we follow Jesus Christ and we go through a little bit of winds and rain and thunder and inconvenience, whether summer, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call. And you got a friend. People can be so cold, they'll take your soul if you let them, but oh, don't you let them. Just give me a call and I come running, knocking at your door. All you got to do is call. Amen.
The life of Jesus Christ was a living demonstration of how much he cared for the needs of others. As God has always called his people to respond to the physical needs of others, we must remember, as you picture this candid snapshot in the Gospel of John, that in the hands of Jesus, little is always much. He alone is our spiritual bread of life. Pastor Pancho has been teaching us in the Gospel of John chapter 6 on this edition of On the Level. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Pancho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.